see if it works. Yep, we're on, but it's not showing video yet.
There it is.
There we go.
Right in the background.
Yep. Good day, everybody. It is Tuesday, July 2nd, a little bit later than usual for a Boiled Sports feature, but it's 10:05 p.m. and I am live on location from one of the best watering holes in all of America, the Poppin's Pub. Can I tell where it is? Can I tell where we're looking? Yep. In Westfield, Indiana. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to, this is a pretty rare thing. I've been on location, I think like three times. AJ's is one of them. Yep. And your place is another. I'm here with Chris Harder. Could you explain, I know many people probably know you from social media that are watching. I think the circles overlap, but yeah. if you want to tell a little bit about the bar, I'd like to hear that too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, started out as a boredom thing with, COVID. About like anybody else's hobby or project might start out. I brew my own beer, so that kind of was a little bit of some part of it initially. I wanted to build my own bar, but I went and bought this from some college kids. So I just wanted the mirror, and then they threw in the bar and the mini fridge. So I was like, $200 in or whatever it was, and saved me a lot of money. So I was like, I'll do that. And then I was really bored at Menards one day, and I just started buying more and more and more stuff. Yeah. So then it just kind of came what it was. And then my wife came up with a nickname because of my Instagram, Twitter, it's CJ Poppin, and she came up with Poppin's Pub, and it just kind of ran off the tongue a little bit there. So And then the rest is kind of history, and I finally have a place to put all my junk.
So it's kind of it's a little bit of everything. It's a Purdue memorabilia place. It's a hockey cave, and it's
It took a lot of inspiration from Harry's. That was kind of the thought, because I started collecting the 8x10 photos, so I just kind of want to throw those up everywhere.
Let's see, you've got on the wall, and I can't really turn around just because I think I'll screw everything up. I feel like everything's tenuous. But tell me some of the autographs you've got here.
So we have a Leroy Keyes. My sister-in-law picked that up. She lives over in West Lafayette. So I have no idea where she got it, but she happened to just come across it, and then she asked me about it one day. Got the Aiden O'Connell. Got that from him at one of the autograph sessions. Yeah. Same thing with the Robbie Hummel. The Drew Brees, the Zach Edey, that one. I want to say my sister-in-law as well. She seems to get a lot of these for me, but she went to one of the signing sessions, I believe. Let's see. The Carson Edwards, I waited in an incredibly long line for that one, right before a football game.
Yeah.
Got a couple NHL guys. Got Olaf Kolzik. He was one of my favorite goalies growing up. Then I'm an LA Kings fan, so I got a Drew Doughty. Got a Johnny Quick. Ryan Kerrigan, not sure where that came from.
Yeah, that's probably Anisha's favorite Boilermaker, I believe.
Superman, yeah. Then I have a picture of my sister. She pole vaulted at Purdue. She's their first female All-American in pole vault, and I believe they're still their current school record holder.
Man.
And then I got a Biggie Swanigan. My dad got me because Biggie actually Airbnb'd his house over in Muncie one day for something they were doing.
That's really cool.
And then I think we got Kyle Orton over there. I can't remember who it is. Got an Etuan Moore. That was my wife's. Rick Mount. Can't remember where I got that one. And then every time on a part of like a beer league championship team or a tournament championship, I always get a picture of us and kind of scatter them about. They're kind of hiding.
Yeah. So you're a pole vaulter at Purdue and a pole vaulter in high school. Were you an All-American in high school? Is that right?
So the first college I went to, All-American then Purdue kind of gave me a look. So then I went to enroll in grad school, which I never completed because I found my first job.
Yeah.
I wanted to stay there. My sister, was currently enrolled and I wanted to kind of help and be there as much as I could with that.
Right on. Yeah. So, but you left pole vaulting behind and now it's beer league hockey.
Yeah.
So.
That was the first sport I ever played and the only sport until about eighth grade.
Yeah. And so one thing that, if you don't know it out there, Jay, does he still play? Did he talk to you?
I think he played a little bit at one point at beer league. Yeah. We talked about it last year's tailgate you guys had.
Yeah.
I can't remember where his current standing was, but. Yeah.
Well, we were just talking about injuries and stuff like that. And I turned 49 in August and, I can tell you that, I don't want to say taped together and bandaged together, but it kind of feels like it at times. And I don't do anything like hockey at this point. So, but one thing, we wanted to talk about, to fellow Purdue fans out here, and I know we don't have a ton of people on here, but I want to talk about a little bit of how much of a dead week it's been, how dead it's been around football in general. And I don't know, like, my perspective might be a little different because I'm trying to scour as much as I can, and you're probably, I would think it's not something you go wake up every morning and try to look for information, but it's legitimately hard to find info on the football program.
For sure.
And are you starved for it as just a fan? Are you looking?
Usually you see like something come up, or like, I think there was a commit today or something like that, some 3-star guy. And then I think there's
the linebacker.
I think then there's a 4-star or like a high 3 or whatever, right. Like outside linebacker that's got like narrowed down to 4 or something like that. But like, that's about it.
Right.
I've seen, I mean,
and it's camp season, right? And that for Brom, that was always kind of the magic time where he would get a bunch of signings in June. Seems like there's a little bit different rhythm, but the game's changed already. That's the thing. It's like, it's so much different than it was just a couple of years ago.
I mean, things. Like basketball is a prime example. I mean, people are jumping in the portal in the middle of the NCAA tournament. Yeah. So like, I feel like, you know, the portal length has changed a bit. I mean, there's no direct punishment for jumping.
I know one thing we could talk about. Did you see the, it's really a public relations video that the athletic department put out with Babinski talking? Did you see that?
No.
I would highly suggest everybody who's out there watching, listening, whatever, after you get done here, go listen to Mike Babinski talk about the things that define Purdue and the things that define the fan base, and then how he says what we all think, which is awesome. He says how much turbulence we're heading into, how different things are going to be soon, and how important it is for Purdue to stick to its guns about what defines it. And he says something along the lines that he feels like college sports will come back towards Purdue. Right? It can't keep swinging this far out.
No, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, how NIL, I think, has affected Purdue in a positive way of basketball. You're going to get guys that come back. Well, now you're getting, like, with those Georgia transfers coming in, like, you know, if they can't go be the guy there, like, why can't you be the guy at any other? I mean, you go to a school, it's still in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
You're still going to play the same, like, high-caliber teams. You know, that in itself, you know, you can go make a bigger name. It's kind of like Carl Loftus, like, other than the fact that he had some connections to Purdue, like, why would a 5-star kind of come in here? But he was, like, the showcase piece. And it's not, I mean, he had to earn his spot and everything, but, like, in the same way, it was, you know, you can stick out a little bit more, show what your talents are, and then, you know, schools like us, hopefully, for basketball-wise, you know, that's not an issue, but for football, you know, we'll hopefully shine a little bit more, and it'll be a little bit more consistent, maybe.
So is there, when you look at all the transfers, specifically those guys from Georgia, and I just did, I don't know if I'm trying to, I did this Big Ten Ted, I was a guest on his show, and talked a little bit about Purdue. He's gone through every team in the league, and he's recorded mine already, and it's going to post it on July 20th. He's a really good guy. He's a Wisconsin guy at heart, but he talked a little bit about the transfers that he, you know, had gotten his attention. Of course, those Georgia guys got his attention. Is there anybody that you see as a newcomer that, just based on what you saw in the spring or what you've heard about them, that has your like, okay, I think that's the guy? I mean, do the Georgia guys do it just because of the Georgia pedigree, or is there more?
I think a little bit, but then again, like, until you kind of see maybe what they're like.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't seen a lot of interviews or anything with them. I kind of want to see that side maybe, just because I think it shows a little bit of personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure, you're a high caliber recruit that went to Georgia, you played, but like, what's the reason necessarily behind why you left? Who knows? You know, are you still the same, you know?
Yeah.
You know, did you come here, or did you, like, if you're a DB, for example, did you come here for Walters?
Right.
Like, he clearly can make you to be what you want to be.
Well, they're all on the two deeps, according to the early two deeps that we've seen released. And I think their athleticism, their length, the fact that they have experience, I think that's right away. It's going to put you there, you know.
Yeah. You just got to learn the system.
You do. But based on spring for me, CJ, is it CJ Smith? CJ Smith, the wide receiver, he's the guy that I think is going to make the most instant impact, just because wide receiver, the whole core has been turned over.
Yeah.
And you need a guy that can do stuff right away athletically.
Yeah, you got a guy that's going to go and not just be in a part or just do the role. You got to make plays. You got to be creative.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys. There's some speed merchants on the team that they all kind of argue who the fastest guy is. But Smith says he's the guy. So I don't know. I don't know if there's any.
Until you're on the track team like Raheem and Akeem were. How are you going to know who's the fastest guy?
Yeah, we were. So my son's graduation party was a couple weeks ago, and real the advantage of Apple computers is they'll harvest everybody's face, right? So you can just say, okay, I want all the pictures of LBD. And so I gathered them and I went through them and I organized them, got them ready for this slideshow. And the funny thing is, he's got a picture of, he's with Akeem Hunt and Raheem Mostert. And I'm like, I love that. I'm like, you got a future Pro Bowler, you know, two guys that were legitimate, you know, big time fast, right?
Raheem was like
completely Olympic underutilized, fast. Of course, you know, this is what happened during the Hazel years. But and I don't know. I had this other thing. This is kind of weird. And complete sidebar. I don't know if you ever go and do this. I'll go. I won't just clean out my computer. I'll go and see what's in those folders that I clean out, because my computers, I roll them over. Like I'll you know, use the Apple Time Machine. I went in and I found a bunch of podcasts from 20, is it 13, 14? That's Hazel, right?
That was the end, yeah.
Yeah. And it was Mike Carmen podcast and talking about the season to come. Oh, Jesus, right. And some of the names he was talking about, like, I was like, I was tuned in then, right? I mean, I was a GBI guy back then and all that. And Boiled Sports had been kicking for a couple of years. And some of the names he talks about in camp, I'm like, I don't know who these guys are right now. It's so wild that that era was so, so gray, so dark, you know?
Yeah.
But, again, I appreciate you hosting. I think this is great. Yeah. And we can get down to a little bourbon tasting. I think it'd be really, really good. Yeah. Before we do it, though, what's your prediction? I think I've told...
For the season?
Yeah, for the season. I've said mine a couple times, but...
You know, it's hard not to be a homer.
Yeah.
But, like, I think if you're 500, I've given the slate... I mean, it's not the best.
It's a great season, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, 500 would be
that's,
awesome.
I think, the end goal should be... Because, like, if... It's kind of like the IU game last year. Like, that just give you a little more momentum. If you have that momentum of 500 with, hey, you teeter, you might have been able to go to a bowl. And then next year, those guys will hopefully want to stay versus if you have just a drastically terrible season, you're just going to see people just bouncing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one thing we talked about on Ted's podcast was, he said, is there any concern among Purdue fans with the exodus?
I'm just hoping that the basketball season hangover just like rolls through a little bit more
right.
I mean, I could see as little as three, two, depends on who they are. Yeah. But you know, I don't like, now you don't like the spoiler maker tune, but like, I could also see you rolling in almost 3-0. Then falling apart. You know, it just depends.
I tell you what, if they start off this season, I mean, you start with two or three wins. Goodness gracious. Yeah. That's rocket fuel.
Yeah. I mean, that's good. And it's finally like the opposite. Like, Brom always had like that. I mean, other than like, was his first year? Was that Eastern Michigan or something like that?
When he drops the one.
No, that was second. I can't remember.
Second year. Yeah.
But the first like highlight, like it was a decent like MAC team, but like there was a night game. They rolled out and it was just like, I can't remember two.
Ohio was the game that they crushed. That was like the most, one of the most fun games ever.
Like, you don't need like a complete like cupcake, but like having Indiana State, get a little confidence, and then playing your next set, you know, what's the second game? Is second game Notre Dame or third?
I think you've got Indiana State second, if I remember correctly.
Who's first?
First is, no, I'm wrong. Man. It is Indiana State, then it's Notre Dame, then it's Oregon State.
Okay. So, I mean,
this is the thing that's dumb, is I could commit this to memory, number one, I should.
Yeah.
I haven't yet. Yeah. Number two, I could bring it up on here, and I didn't. So that's pretty poor.
That's all right.
Homework on my part. But yeah, regardless, we know the schedule. We know where it is.
I mean, if you can have a good Indiana State game, a good, comfortable, like, you know, we're not sweating in our seats after like the first quarter.
Yeah. Like, then, remember the Indiana State game years ago? I always talk about this. And this is during the Hazel years when it took Ricardo Allen intercepting the ball to clinch it.
Yeah.
Let's not have that.
Yeah, that's hard.
And I don't think you've got that, because I think this Purdue team, again, you've got a bunch of guys that are the part. These are Big Ten players. These are Power Five.
I mean, I think this year, just with the new people coming in and then the people who stayed, and then just that extra year with Hudson Card under, like, having under his belt, I think that'll be a big jump offensively, maybe.
Yeah.
But like, the defense is what I think the defense, like the offense, could be like that frustrating. Like, we just needed to score one, you know, maybe a touchdown or just get in field goal range. But then when it comes to the defensive side, I feel like that will keep us in games and give us the hope. That always ends up crushing.
I'm super worried again. Like, and I know I was very open about my thoughts on Harrell, especially early in the season. They look better at the end of the season. I think I wonder. I still haven't heard an answer. I haven't heard anybody say this officially, that they were really telling Hudson to take it easy early in the season.
Sure. So on the run.
Because the drop off was so big.
But, yeah.
man, that offense was pretty stale at times.
But your offensive line getting a little bit better this year, hopefully. If that, I mean, if it's just enough to.
And Hartwig's healthy right away. That was a big deal last year.
That's true.
Purdue had to endure, right? This happened over and over last year. The offensive line and defensive backs, where you had guys getting in the game where you're like, I hope this goes well, right? Yeah. Because you just didn't know
if they were ready. Who is this? You know, that's another one, too, like, especially with the new name situation. Yeah. So I can see Indiana State being a good, comfortable win, and then, like, the Notre Dame one could be, like, there's hope because, like, you made, like, a defensive effort, but then your offense maybe couldn't get it quite done.
Yeah,
but again, like, I like to also see, like, a special teams core that actually, like, other than just, like, playing it safe. Yeah, just, like, you want, like, one or two guys, you're like, okay, if he beats one guy.
Yeah, I wonder. That's the thing. That Smith, to me, could be one of those guys right away that you could plug in. Because, his immediate speed, he's not Rondell Moore, but his immediate speed is noteworthy. You watch him, and you're like, man, he's up to it in 2-3 steps, you know. So, and he's a little guy, so maybe he can, you know, his change of direction is also good, so.
Yeah, he squeaked through a couple tackles, so.
Yeah. So, pretty exciting stuff. A lot of variables, a lot of things to look forward to. But, so, today, in Poppin's Pub, we're going to try a couple different products. I'm excited here. We got E.H. Taylor Single Barrel. This is out of your...
Just out of my collection.
Out of your collection. Yeah. And then I bought one coming in. It's a Triple R rye. It's a Zinfandel finished rye. And okay. I've told a lot of... I think I've said this over and over. That's like my favorite. That's my wheelhouse. When you have something that's finished in another barrel, especially rye, you just get a lot of balance and flavor. I haven't tried this one, so this is a good one. I've tried Triple R. Yeah. I've tried other Triple R products, so this will be good to do that. And if you're home enjoying a bourbon, you can sound off in the comments and let us know. I know a couple people asked a couple weeks ago what I was going to try, and I tried to title the episode as such. And
sure.
The hard thing is when you do that, it's hard to find stuff, especially it feels like in Indiana, like from one liquor store to another, I think Total Wine, you know, it's probably the best place to go. Yeah. And I'm not sponsored by Total Wine. Again, if they want to.
I'd love a discount.
Right. Yeah. It's not bad. So let's do this. Let's start out here with the Colonel Taylor single barrel. That was a beautiful.
It's like a bell ring.
That was awesome. So. Hope everybody else is doing really good tonight. As just a tiny pour for me to start this here.
That's right.
Perfect.
That's all I need. Yeah, you gotta drive. Right. I gotta walk upstairs.
All right, that's right. A little easier commute. Here, give a little of that. All right. A lot of alcohol in the nose. So this is one of those that I think its reputation precedes it, right? If you're a bourbon or a brown liquor fan. E.H. Taylor Single Barrel is one that, you know, people talk about a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to Buffalo Trace, it is worth every penny of buying it. If you're buying on the aftermarket, I don't think it's worth it. But, I mean, I've had some of their higher-end stuff, too, just like, you know, you go to a restaurant. Like, I go to Vegas for work sometimes. So you get to try some stuff out. But, you know, contrary to some people's belief, I think it blows Bland's out of the water.
See, I'm the other way. So, like, the last time, but it's been a couple years since I had a blind tasting.
Sure.
Blanton's one. And yeah. I had which one's younger? Old Rip or Pappy? Pappy's younger, right?
So it goes Rip Van Winkle, then it goes the Pappy series.
Right,
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So I had Rip.
Yeah, Rip's good.
Yeah, and that's one that's hard to get. And a buddy of mine, he had a couple bottles we were finishing off down at the end. And Blanton's won my blind taste test.
Really?
Yeah. And we had
I guarantee I'd probably do a blind taste test and I'd be like, I don't.
Well, that's a funny thing. Like I watch a guy on Instagram who talks about, you know, tasting different things and he drinks all the time. That's the other thing. You have to drink a lot to get to the point where you're really that good at it. Right. Yeah. And so I don't think that's probably the best practice anyway. So this is a bottle and bond. So this is 100 proof.
Yep.
And that makes it a little bit different. It's spicy. And it's like, it's easy to drink, I'd say.
Especially for like no water, no ice.
Right. Right. So I don't know. Like for me, like I'm gonna.
I always think Buffalo Trace across the board is a little more buttery, which I do like.
That's exactly right. This is not weeded, right? But Buffalo Trace and Blanton's are both weeded, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. So question. I think, I mean, you get that sweeter finish, but
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like the, it's good. I like a lot of Buffalo Trace products. And for me, the other Taylor, I told you I'd tried another one. I'd gotten on a tour.
Yeah.
And I was like, it didn't do that much for me. This to me is, it's better than just the plain old Colonel E.H. Taylor.
The blend. And the other one, they have what? The blend, single barrel, and
it's a cheaper bottle. Yeah. Yeah. So, but we got it right there at the distillery. So,
yeah.
There's some things that are just hype machines, right? Because they're harder to get, obviously. Yeah.
Buffalo Trace has done a good job of making that.
They've done a great job. I think they're a marketing company that happens to be a distillery. Their stories they tell, like, you're like, they're awesome, right? That they're so good at doing that, making you say, oh, wow, this is, you know, whatever the mash bill was. And, oh, yeah, that's the same as that. Just all we did is this one little change.
Yeah.
And so then they end up selling this one a whole bunch because it's the same.
Yeah, I mean, Jefferson's is the prime example. It's all this. I mean, they're different, but like the aged ocean, they'll do like, they had like a Manhattan one. They aged it.
Right.
Or they'll do like the.
Yeah, that one is a super, like, and this is the funny thing about bourbon. Maybe people are starting to figure this out. Especially as the market becomes more and more saturated and you're getting distilleries all across America.
Sure.
There's only so many stories that are legit.
Yeah. Right? I mean, you go to Louisville and like all those distilleries, you got Angel's Envy, Old Forester, Elijah Craig, and I think I'm missing one, but like that's the real story.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. Like one of them, I think it was Elijah Craig invented, like they either came up with the fact that it was in a glass bottle or whatever. And one of them, it's like, oh, we're going to do this in a charred oak barrel.
Right.
Like
right.
They invented what it is. And right. That's, you know, why they have their reputation.
Yeah, I saw a chart one time too. It talks about all the old labels and how many of them went away, right? You know, like and then some were resurrected, and you're like, okay, this isn't the same product, but it's a marketing story. So, well, let's try this one. You want to hold this for a second?
Yeah, man.
While you do it, let's see. Let
me put down on that one, or you can pour it in the same glass, whatever floats your boat.
Just a little bit of that. You want to do this too?
Yeah.
You doing it over ice?
Yeah. Whatever you do, I'll do the same.
I'm just gonna do that, and then I think I'm gonna stick with this.
But. Yeah, whatever. Thank you.
There you go. All right. So we're drinking, like I said, Triple R rye finished in white Zinfandel.
You can get the like
barrels,
the fruity, like almost like grapiness in a way.
It's probably way different than what we just tried.
Very like, kind of like.
It's lighter, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean,
right away, it's lighter, less alcohol in the nose.
I'll make sure the boiled source is facing forward. Yeah,
that's better etiquette, no doubt about that. No. Wow, that is such a different animal. Oh my 180 degrees. Gosh! And so this is why I like the rye. I like the rye that are finished in something else because you got like every part of your tongue, it does something different. Like you're getting you're getting front end and. This doesn't have a ton of spice, though, for a rye at all.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, in fact, are you getting any spice?
No.
So
I just can't get past the fact that, like, you smell it. It smells like, you know, like a grape Jolly Rancher in a way. Like, that's just like that, not artificial grape, but, like, you know, definitely like this grape or fruity kind of smell.
And I've done this every week, so let's do this. Everybody knows what Colonel Taylor label looks like, but if you want to try Triple R on your own, let's see. We got a little delay here. Oh, there we go. I think it'll show up there in a second.
Sure.
Yeah, there we go. So it's got a.
It's so warthog on it. How light it is in general, just like not just the flavor, like almost like the body in a way. I think.
Yes, everything's lighter. Yeah, much less boozy.
That's very good.
Yeah. See, that's like you said, fruity. I mean, like.
But it's like only fruity, like. Just hit your nose, and then when you taste it, it's
not just smooth, just completely smooth. I think that's a bit unexpected, though. If you're a big fan of rye, I think I was warned about this. That's why I got the bourbon the first time. I was looking for ryes that were finished, right? It doesn't really taste like a rye, does it?
No, not at all.
Because there's no spice.
No, there's no spice. It's like, you know, you always get that like pepperiness to it, like, you know, or like at least like a little
there's
bit.
There's a funny comment in here. Dick Stillwagon says, "Pirate risky." Arr! Yeah. So let's go through the comments, why don't we? Sure. I got a couple of them. Boiler Bruh says BTFU. Still don't know what that means. It's a joke. You too. Ted Berge says, good late evening, good night. I don't know. I hope you're not signing out, Ted. You're kind of a stalwart.
Came and went.
Yeah, came and went. That's it. Bourbon Syndicate. Nice to have a bourbon presence here. It says, saw bourbon, had to see what's up. Cheers, folks. I hope the bourbon syndicate stuck around for the bourbon part. Sure. But the whole thing is, because this is a Purdue podcast, I think that's the funny thing. If I talk more about bourbon, less about Purdue, I'm going to pay with my viewership. Yeah. So, but this...
Sure. A little bit of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. Yeah. And that's the whole thing about doing it in the summer. I've thought about doing this bourbon thing for like a decade.
That's great.
Jay and I talked about it, and I was like, man, I like bourbon. I like talking about Purdue, how we do this, and
just mix it in.
Right. So yeah, so that's a good experiment. Ryan Michael Anthony Harrington says, are we optimistic for football? Are 6 wins even possible? So we talked about that a little bit. For me, I think it's a 4 to 6 win window.
Yeah.
I think 5 is a successful season.
Yeah, that's. You're building off of last, so that's all you can hope
for. Yeah, right on. Bourbon Syndicate says, Bourbon, did you say? So, yeah, so this is funny. Like, let's see.
Do we measure pores by fingers? It depends on whose fingers.
Right, yeah, I got kind of sausage fingers.
We'll use his fingers.
Yeah, exactly. There's a friend of mine who said, you always be very dedicated, be consistent when you do a 2-finger pour because it can get dangerous if you don't. He said...
Two fingers.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I don't think we were scientific at all. So, the one thing that's really cool, by the way, this is noteworthy, and we can show the camera. This ice ball.
Yeah.
Tell me, remind me of the name of the ice
ball. Lux Ice.
Lux Ice.
They sell it at, like, I think Whole Foods carries it for some reason. I got that from, I believe, Total Wine. I saw it, and I was like, you know what? You know, I'll give it a try. I think it was like $8 or $10.
I mean, it's beautifully clear. You got
like 6 or 8 balls.
Yeah. Yeah. That's...
And it's still sitting there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I had my daughter gave me some ice balls for Father's Day or the ice ball. She gave me, they melted already. No, she did not give me Lux brand, but gave me the mold. And so I did it with distilled water. And like I was complaining, you've given me some hints on, and I'll try that next. Yeah. But I get through the other ones. Like I just don't drink bourbon by myself. Like I told you, and I kind of reviewed my policies. I don't drink by myself generally, and I don't drink when I'm in a bad mood or something bad's happened. It's a
good rule. So this is,
yeah, because I think it can become a problem pretty quickly, of course. So
I've been told.
Yeah. So let's see. Let's keep going. Dick Stillwagon says, boiler up. And would we take a win over the University of North South Bend or a loss and a bull season?
I'd take the Notre Dame win.
Okay. So
just because,
so you're saying a 6, because let's say the breaking point, 6 wins, right? Yeah. And you lose to Notre Dame, and the 6 win is not going to be that great of a bowl.
Yeah, I take that. I mean, my uncle went to Notre Dame. My grandfather is just, it's like Poppin's Pub in his basement, but it's like the Four Horsemen took over.
Yeah.
It's just a Notre Dame.
It's a family thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not great.
But let me be the devil's advocate here.
Okay? Yeah.
For the importance, which one's better for the program?
Gotta get the bowl in.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, like,
that's what they care about, because if there's an incentive to go to the bowl, the free stuff that players get, like, they like that. And then, you know, the program in itself, just to be playing a little bit longer.
I think I it's pretty easy. If you could, if this year, if they can win 5 and beat Notre Dame and IU,
I take it.
Pretty damn good. Right. Yeah. And then you look at the rest of the schedule. Okay. So Indiana State's 1. So now you're up to 3.
Yep.
So where do you get your other 2 wins? It's going to be a good team.
Yeah. It's going to be.
Yeah, the one game that it's amazing. And we've talked about this. We beat this horse to death. But the fact that they can't beat Wisconsin, and you're gonna be in Madison this year. Yeah. It's like, it's almost like move on. Let's wait till the next
time.
You
lost to like the worst Wisconsin team in decades, and then like it was a triple overtime, and Rondell Moore scored 2 of the touchdowns in overtime. It's just like, I need to stop them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd almost take that one over the Notre Dame win. I'd take the Wisconsin.
Just it will be whenever it happens. Sports are
just
like
reset
this, right?
It so there's no more stat that says
exactly.
Like, you know,
it's been 4 generations since Purdue's beat Wisconsin.
The only other teams, what, Indiana and Ohio State, that kind of a deficit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jeff says you were on Big Ten Ted. You're famous. Yes. He So Ted reached out to me actually twice. Here's the bad thing, and I didn't tell Ted this. He reached out to me. And Twitter has this thing where they don't show you direct messages if you're not connected to somebody.
Yes. You have to like accept it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like it doesn't show up in your little, you know, like it's lit up. And I went, I was like, oh my gosh. He asked me when Taryn Grant was, you know, signed.
Really?
Yeah. And I didn't respond.
It was a good company.
Yeah.
Huh? It was a good company to be in. Yeah.
Right. Right. So, but he... I screwed that up, and then he came back and said, "Hey, I really would love to talk to a Purdue guy." So really good, yeah. Ted's a good guy, and really good conversation, and We talked. He said the one of his favorite things is after the podcast talking to somebody for. We talked for another hour about us, about our future.
Sure.
No, maybe not. But yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy, and yeah, so always good to talk to somebody too about outside perspective, about what they think of the program. Kind of sober you up a little bit. What you think, yeah. Right? Bourbon Syndicate says nice.
Small batch is what you're thinking of.
Where are we here?
That's just the one you're highlighted on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
the small batch. Yeah, that's right. That's the other bottle I got.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I can't do
single barrel is fantastic. Porter, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Dick Stowen says, do we measure our pour by surveys? Okay. E.H. Taylor, single barrel is fantastic. Pour, very nice. Okay. So Bourbon Syndicate might be one of those people that really
knows what they're doing.
Knows exactly what they're doing. And I like that. I consider myself somebody, I know my taste buds, right?
Sure.
And I know when something hits my list, I'm like, okay, I like that. Sure. You know? And I'm gonna talk about Angel's Envy Rye here in one of these before we get back to football camp, just because that's one I've got I've got that one because it's a great sipper.
Yeah.
But like we were saying before we went on the air, it's so sweet, right? So there. But I mean, I love that stuff. And you put it over ice, it gets better and better and better to me. So
and or
I
you like cut it with regular Angel's Envy.
That's what
I've done.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they still dance well together. No
they
problem.
Do.
Okay.
Yeah. It just makes it a little best of both. I mean, some people might like scoff or
yeah. So Jay Westfall says 1984 grad certified Texas wino.
Tried Kokomo Winery in Napa?
Okay.
I don't know where it's at. They have a special edition wine they do every year for the Purdue alumni.
Oh, that's
I think
cool.
I think my bottle's upstairs, but every year they come out with a Purdue specific bottle of wine.
Yeah, so air something you guys can sound off about if there's still people hanging on. I see there's a couple beyond here, so it's great. But did you order the Purdue bottle of bourbon?
Yes.
I know you did.
Yep.
But I wonder how many people out there, did they sell through?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't get it. The reason I didn't get it is I never buy bourbon that way. I don't buy bourbon online. I know it's a weird thing. Like
I asked West Fork. I went up there and asked him, like, are you guys going to have this? I said, no, it's going to be shipped. They will have it at one point, I think is what they were
hinting at. But what I look forward to hearing from people like you is this something that's actually, is the barrel different? Does it have that much character? Is it?
I have a feeling it's just a barrel that's already because like that's they didn't plan this
right. You know, right.
4 years ago, they weren't perceiving the future when they made it, or maybe they didn't. They should tell me.
Yeah. So you told me a good story, and you said you had a bottle you were going to break open for the Final Four if they got the Final Four.
Yeah.
Remind me what that was.
It was the Four Roses, just single barrel, but it was the Harry's Chocolate Shop like barrel they bought, and I waited in line. I got a couple of those. They did a couple other ones, and that happens to be the one I just. Finally could make my work schedule work with.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like it's etched on the side. It's got
a little sticker on the other side that says Go Ugly Early.
Yeah, that's really cool. But Four Roses single barrel, to me, we were talking about this earlier, and maybe the Bourbon Syndicate, if still here, could sound off here too. But the Four Roses single barrel, to me, is one of the best sippers. It's just really, really good. And so how did that – can you tell me what the difference is? Did you try them side by side, the normal – and that
there's a very heavy pour after the
it was that's the first
time. I got that bottle and it was their 100 year anniversary.
Okay,
so whenever that was, like it was like 2021 or something like that.
Okay, cool,
because I remember it was like COVID-ish or maybe right beforehand. And then I told myself I bought two of them, bought one for myself, one for my dad. My dad's just like, just hold on to it. And then I was gonna, I wanted to wait for either a Rose Bowl or the Four Roses or the Final Four, and then obviously this year we made the Final Four, so then it was just a real hasty pour after pacing the living room, watching the Tennessee.
Yeah, so did you watch right here? Where did you watch the game?
My parents have a house in the neighborhood right next to us. So my wife doesn't like me to watch in her. The thing that sucks too, she played in Boiler Brass.
Uh-huh.
Huge Purdue basketball fan. I did very good all year round.
Yeah.
This year. And finally, I was like, this is the one game. My dad and I went to who they play the second round?
Utah State.
Utah State, yeah. So we went to that one in person, and that was cool.
That ticket was absurdly expensive. Like,
we waited last minute.
Okay.
We waited last minute, and we sat.
Did you just go to town, and how'd you get
it? I just bought online last minute. They
there is no real scalping in person anymore, right?
No, you just scalp online.
Yeah.
But, we went to that one, and then, it's just, she knows... Just football specifically, she doesn't like to be around me. But, it's an emotional addiction.
It's a weird thing. Like, I watched some games in person. I watched two in person this tournament. And I'm a different animal.
In person, I'm I don't know if it's... It depends on who we're playing.
Right.
Because I went to the Tennessee game. I happened to be there for work. I picked up a trip that overlapped that in Louisville. And because it's Tennessee, I don't... I have a friend who went to Tennessee for grad school. Yeah. And he just adopted them. And just every time we played
the sport... Seated? Where were you?
Nosebleeds.
Okay.
Tennessee fans surrounding me.
Yeah.
So I kept my mouth shut for a while. But then, like, you know, it just...
LBD and I were sitting right next to some pretty good Tennessee fans.
The people I sat around were not too bad. There's one guy. Yeah. He was probably a little, you know, under the influence possibly. But, you know, he was just like breathing down my neck, it felt like, and just kind of just like just chirping me the whole time.
Yeah, we were up in the corner. I wish I could. I can't really tell you. What, it was mostly Purdue, right? So, but that was it was good to have Bilbo Shankins was right behind me. That was awesome. So, Having a familiar face,
sure,
that was good. Yeah, but I was a mess. I was an absolute mess.
Yeah,
so,
I was pacing the entire Tennessee game. And my stepdad's like, "Oh, you got it. He's got it. He's got it." And he's like, "It's game over." And then I was like, "It's not over." It was like, and then after it's like you don't know what to do.
Yeah,
you just kind of sit there and you're just kind of frozen. And I didn't know what to do. And then I ran back to my house. And then I brought the bottle back over there just so my mom could try it. And, you know, that's it.
So let's see. Bourbon Syndicate says there are some fantastic small distilleries. Yeah, this is the problem. Like, I don't know about you. I like to buy something different almost every time.
I try not to buy the same bottle twice.
Yeah,
unless it's like a staple.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're I mean, like Angel's Envy is one that I probably bought 3 or 4 times, and that's actually become more attainable. That's a weird one because they're for a while you
couldn't get the rye.
Couldn't get the rye, and when you found it was $100 or more, and I'm like, I can't.
Now I can buy it at CVS.
It's crazy. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe the Bourbon Syndicate can tell us why that happened. I don't know why that happened. Why they're every place else.
Buffalo Trace took their spot in the spotlight.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. You can't get that here. Yeah. So.
Like we were talking about, New Rift is another one that I like a lot. That 100 proof 4 year is really, really good.
Yep.
And that's one you can find all the time. Nolan 23 says, I visited Maker's Mark and Old Forester last week.
Oh, that's cool.
Maker's Mark is a great tour.
It's been on my bucket list. I have like, I don't know, 5 things off of the Bourbon Trail and like the little passport or whatever. And I just want to go and dip my bottle.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's a good one. The one that was like least impressive to me, and I don't know if we got a bad one, is the way Four Roses does it. You're just kind of sitting in a room and having a tasting there. Like it wasn't
a tour involved or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe there was a tour and I just didn't get it, but it was like, and the way they Buffalo Trace, the way they train their people, they're really, really good.
Yeah.
A lot of personality showing through, and I was biased anyway. That was kind of where I wanted to be. But they did a great job. Woodford was pretty solid. Their tasting room was pretty good. Four Roses was the one that was underwhelming. But Makers, I was like, man, they did a great job. Another good tour.
Yep.
And they have this cool that ending of it. You're sitting in the like a barrel room. It's almost like a theater. And,
that's cool.
Yeah. So you're looking at where you know when you buy a barrel, I guess you come, they roll it out and they open it for you. And,
yeah.
I didn't do that. I didn't have that arrangement. Dick Stillwagon says, "Float the boat." What's the Minnesota chin? Right. Yeah. Yeah, Minnesota. Still, just, yeah, exactly. You like forget.
It's just PJ's face.
Stupid face. Yeah. Tight pants. Yeah. When is that? This chapter gonna end? I think he didn't think it'd be this long at Minnesota.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Dick Stillwagon says ice balls need use of that term more often. Yep. PSA: dogs don't appreciate the fireworks.
That's why mine keep going upstairs. Probably.
No. And I don't know. I don't know how bad it is in Westfield, but in Fishers, it is.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It's like when everybody realizes it's hot summer, like when the heat really hits, people just start lighting stuff on fire.
Sure.
And we don't have dogs in our house, but man.
Yeah. So. My dogs just, they like them. They just bark at them because they think it's something different. They doesn't spook them, surprisingly, but.
Yeah. You know. Let's see. Let's go down here. Bourbon Syndicate says, although I'm not up on the lingo, I know that for, goes with Four Roses. What's that?
It's probably maybe talking about the Harry's portion, like they bought their barrel or whatever.
Yeah.
They did like some tequilas. They did Woodford. They did like 4 or 5.
They do that all the time.
No, they only did it for the 100 year anniversary. From what I know. I mean, they might do
it. But they don't usually have stuff with the etched bottle or anything. So. Yeah. Ancient Astronauts also here. It says Boiler Up. So thanks to everybody who tuned in live. A lot of fun. Let's see. Yeah, 40 minutes. Not bad. Nothing's ever, like, it's never really a quick cast, but I didn't think this would be. But thanks for hosting. Been good.
Appreciate you.
And if you, you know, I'm sure whenever they just drive by, they see the poppin' sign, they just drop in.
Yeah.
Super simple.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm very honored to be here. This is, I'm not a big bar guy. And if I'm going to go to a bar, I'm going to go to Poppin's Pub. So, but thanks again for hosting. Thanks to everybody tuning in live. Thanks to Coach Walters for keeping everything close to the vest and making it as much of a sport as it was with Jeff Brohm coaching the pre-con. You talked about that, the parallels there. The funny thing is, Jeff Brohm is so much of a different bird than Walters. Like I talked about this with Ted on his podcast. You couldn't have two coaches that are more different in their philosophy and how they approach the game, right? Obviously, being defensive-centric, offensive-centric. Coach Brohm, many years, didn't even field much. You know, like, he didn't care, right? It was not a priority. And Walters, it really starts in that defensive backfield, it seems. Yep. So that's the reason for hope, and that's the reason that I'm pretty excited about football season already.
Yeah.
And we're, a month from camp. So,
yeah,
pretty darn good.
Right around the corner.
But thanks to everybody for tuning in. Well, we got a couple interesting chat. Oh, Bourbon Syndicate says SEC all the way, Roll Tide. Yeah, so that's not going to stick around here, brother. So, but you're a bourbon guy. You should be around the Louisville area,
you
right?
Would think,
and you should be a Jeff Brohm guy. And I don't know how I feel about that either. So, yeah. But anyway, thanks for stopping in, though. Do appreciate the texture it brought to the conversation. Thanks to everybody who's here. We'll we'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Hammer down. Maybe I'll see you. Let's see. It's Tuesday. There's a chance if something pops up in the news, if the uniforms are released,
finally,
like our buddy Teddy, he's waiting. We're all waiting for it. So if that happens, I'll get on a quick cast of some sort with reaction. Like you said, we saw a preview. Look pretty good.
So far, so good.
So, but it's not the best of previews what we've seen. So,
yeah.
But hammer down. Talk to you soon. God bless you. And have a great evening. Thanks for tuning in. There you go. Yes.